Good morning. Welcome, Trinity. My name is Mike, and this morning I'd like to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And while you're flipping there, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this morning, for the chance to gather, to sing, to pray, to hear from your word. And I pray now that as my words line up with your words, that they would fall on ears and hearts ready to receive them and respond. And gracious God, if I say anything that isn't from you, I pray that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The church in Corinth, to whom Paul wrote this letter, was a mess. There was all sorts of unhealthy conflict, divisions, members even suing one another. There was rampant immorality, adultery among members, misunderstanding about marriage. There was abuse of spiritual gifts, serious distractions in worship, confusion about the resurrection, and classism, even at the Lord's table. In other words, it was bad. And so Paul, who planted the church in Corinth, writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, as a letter of correction to a church desperately in need of correction. He'll use strong words in this letter, understandably and rightfully so. He'll be firm and clear. He'll correct their behavior and their theology and the way they live together and worship together. Paul is not soft on sin. He knows it's serious. But he also doesn't start there. If you've been at Trinity for any length of time, you've probably heard me say that any time there's repetition in the Bible, we ought to pay attention. So look at this. In the first 9 verses, Paul uses the word charis. This is the Greek word, usually translated as grace, 3 times. Grace to you. That's verse 3. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace, the charis, of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That's verse 4. And then, so that you are not lacking in any gift. That's verse 7. And the Greek word for gift here is charis. You are not lacking in any grace. 3 times. Before Paul corrects, rebukes, or anything. And Corinth will need all of that. He saturates his opening with grace. And then you'd be hard-pressed not to see it. He mentions Jesus, or the Lord, referring to Jesus, a whopping 9 times in 9 verses. Jesus and the grace of Jesus gets the first word. Just as Jesus and the grace of Jesus we'll get the last word. Here's the point I'd like to make this morning. Paul isn't indifferent to sin. He takes it seriously enough to write a letter to the church in Corinth confronting the sin that is corrupting their life together. But he doesn't start there. He starts with grace, and he especially starts with Jesus. We live in a world that seems to approach sin in one of 2 ways. Either we should just let people do what they want because sin's not really that big a deal, or the mistakes we make, or perhaps especially the mistakes others make, are the end-all, be-all. But Paul demonstrates a different way. Not indifferent towards sin. He knows it matters. He knows that sin corrupts and destroys the people of God. But he doesn't start there. He starts with Jesus, who in his graciousness calls us while we are still sinners and invites us into his family. He knows sin is deathly serious, but for those in Christ, it's not the end of the story. Grace is. And so he models for us a particular posture. one that leads with grace and unrelentingly points towards Jesus, while still confronting the seriousness of sin in the correct order and lovingly challenging the church to turn from their sin and towards Jesus. It's my hope and prayer that the Holy Spirit continues to form us here at Trinity to be this sort of church, the sort of church that cares about holiness, takes sin seriously, that speaks about repentance because we need it, but that always leads with grace and tirelessly points to Jesus, who unfailingly loves sinners. Will you stand and pray with me? Gracious God, I do pray you would form our hearts and our minds, hands and our spirits in the form and fashion of grace, and of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself up as a ransom for sinners. Would you empower us to live and walk with this sort of posture in our life together and with our neighbors and loved ones? And we pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.